So a few minutes ago, I was just thinking as I looked at the topic that we want to reflect on, rebuilding community. And it dawned on me, maybe one of the best things to do is to jot a few things down on the board. Because really as we look at community, community is what each of us bring to it, or what we are at, or what we have that connects, that creates an aggregate environment. So I want you to look at yourself, what may be necessary in rebuilding, what helps to consolidate, what helps to give vision. But a couple of questions we want to reflect on. You know, Krishna consciousness became so prominent in the 60s, and we see that during that time, here in America that is, that there were so many other communities that also developed, that were alternative communities, and that in most part they were focused on some particular goals and visions about trying to make the planet a better place. Now, the majority of the communities that existed during the 60s, or started during the 60s, didn't prevail. And there are certain distinct reasons why some that did prevail and have grown, why they were able to grow. There's even been some interesting studies where people have done survey and have visited many of the communities that were existing and have tried to do some evaluation and what happened, that it fell apart, or what happened that became stagnant, what happened in terms of its being able to still consider it the same goals, or where did the people go. So it's not just an issue that we look at ourselves as Vaishnavas, but it's an issue that has to do with certain things connected with institutions, certain things connected with trying to honor a different kind of lifestyle within a dominant culture. So first I'd like to ask you, to hear from you, what are some of the things that you can think of that are likely to be part of what is responsible for causing some communities to fall apart? And you know, we can look at our own community, and those things are specific for us, but they're also some things that are also generic. They have some generalizations. Because there are times when we minimize the fact that there are certain things that just happens to people, happens to gatherings, happens to institutions, and doesn't matter whether it's a educational institution, commercial, whether it's political, or whether it's religious. There are certain things that are very special about religious community, but there are many things that are, you know, that are quite similar. Now we're looking at basic alternative communities where people particularly acted upon a vision, some cases had some kind of scripture or some kind of philosophy. They came together, they renounced certain things, they made certain sacrifices, they agreed to live together for certain particular goals that they wanted to accomplish together. What are some of the reasons that you can think of that such communities, as well as a community like ours, could have trouble, or why such communities could even fall apart? What are some of the things? Let's just share real quick some issues. Uh-huh.
Well, I think one thing that's obvious,
let me ask, can you hear in the back? No. Well, what do we do? Do we perhaps have another microphone to move around?
The tablet is not working. Could you just repeat the question?
I'll repeat the question, okay.
I mean, repeat the answer with the reply.
Okay.
I don't know how it figures into what you're going to say, but it seems like oftentimes a community or an alternative community starts as a result of one person, and that one person embodies a whole set of ideals, activities, whatever, and everyone rallies around that person. And then when that person dies or moves on or whatever, then there's no longer one focus.
Okay. What we do, just put community, and then just put failures. Let's put a dash maybe on the same line, failure. Okay, so he mentioned that often a community fails because everything is centered around one person. So just put centered around one person. Okay, and that one person disappoints or leaves or deviates or runs away with money, the finances, or whatever, then the community falls apart. What's some other reasons? Yes? Now, these things can be related to us and have related, but they're also issues that relate to alternative communities, why some have fallen apart, why some are stagnant, etc. Okay?
A lot of egos and everyone wants to control issues.
Okay. Put two. Let's put number two. Large egos or ego conflicts. We have so many people want to be leaders and nobody's following. Okay? Raghunath?
I would say a big one would be failure to keep our young people interested in the classroom we've chosen.
Okay.
And again, it couples with what you were saying earlier. We're really a small lifestyle in a larger culture. Mm-hmm. And that larger culture has many devices and propaganda to pull people into the mainstream. And who you are. Yes.
Okay, so ability to keep the younger folk, let's just put satisfied. That includes many, many levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, this whole community revolves around one person, our beloved.
This whole community revolves around one person, our beloved guru, Srila Prabhupada, right? But he's no longer here, but now in the devotees, the spirit of Srila Prabhupada is kept alive. And thank you. I'm new here, so thank you for being here. Thank you for being here.
Okay. This is just making a general comment. Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a problem in
Buddhist
beliefs, but any institution, any group, is the inability to support itself financially.
Okay. Financial problems? Okay. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Just not individually taking the time to get to know one another in a loving, kind, and caring way.
Okay.
So that we can develop our personal relationships on a very deep level of integrity.
Okay. I'm going to say poor relationships. Poor relationships. Okay, just a few more. Just so we reflect specifically and in general.
Mm-hmm. There's no clear goals.
Okay. So, lack of goals, which is similar to saying lack of vision, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. There's no, this is kind of under ability to keep you interested, but there's no education. There's usually no schools in less of our communities.
Okay, lack of proper education, lack of education facilities.
Lack of
educational facilities, proper educational facilities. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lack of care of devotees by the leaders or by the management.
Okay. Manage, let's see, how do you want to put that phrase there? Number eight, that's so wide. Put, he's looking at more in terms of the management on the people. Just put lack of servant leadership. Lack of servant leadership. Kind of all encompassing. Where's that microphone? Okay, yes, please.
Miscommunication, I think there's a lot of poor communication skills.
Okay.
Poor communication.
Okay.
Most of the land based, or the act of the land attempts by people in the 60s and 70s
partially fail for all these reasons, but also because of there was no cultural backdrop for actually knowing how to relate to the environment.
Okay. How can we put that in one sentence? Lack of environment sensitivity.
Generational, definitely skills.
If you can put it in one sentence for me, how would you say that?
Environmental protection.
How do you say it? Background cultural.
Lack of, because culture is really, really vast. Culture in relationship to the land.
Lack of agrarian culture.
What about agrarian culture?
Loss of relationship between community and environment.
Okay.
Loss
relationship between environment and community. Okay, I think we got room for one more. Ms. Malati.
Immature. Immature perception of goals by participants and an individual lack of determination after some time, like after the initial excitement and determination had worn down.
Put that in one sentence for us.
Well, there's two points. Immature perception of goals.
Let us say that that's already there in number six. Lack of goals.
Well, no, even we have goals, but there's an immature perception of what.
Okay, add to number six, comma, immature perception. Lack of goals and immature perception. It's still connected, you know, with goals. And the other area you had?
And then after some time, the individual determination wears down or slows down.
Okay.
Loss of determination.
Put number 11. Loss of determination. Okay. Class is over. It's over. So here we have. Here we have a list. We can write a book on things that causes failure. We have some dominant things that causes failure. So all we got to do is fix these, and they'll be success, right? So everything is over now. You finish the whole class in 5 minutes. Okay, but you know, if we can go on and on until, you know, maybe this evening about certain things that cause failure. What we realize is that there are distinct things that guarantee success. There are distinct things that brings some level of stagnation, and there are definitely some areas that will cause failure. And so these are some of the areas that are there. Now, if we think about why an individual who also is pursuing the goal of trying to become pure, why an individual fails, you know, let's just limit this now to our own society. If we think, well, what causes a person who starts off very enthusiastically in devotional service later to leave the process, or later to become stagnant in the process? And we'll find that all of these are also prominent. What causes an individual? And we can go on and on and write a longer list. We can go directly to the shastra and we can look at how achihara payastis japa japa niyamaga, etc., how we bring about vinashiti or fall down. We can also look, because certain things that interferes with our devotional creeper interferes with our community creeper. There are things that distinctly waters our devotional creeper, nourishes it, that weakens our community creeper. So community is not really something that's so elusive or that's so difficult. It's just a matter of also looking at what helps or what hurts the individual. You amplify that, you expand that, and that helps the individual will help many people as they come together in aggregation. What hurts the individual will create a mass of greater hurt, etc. When a group of people are not being empowered, being disempowered by perhaps one person who doesn't empower or doesn't transfer the power or doesn't allow sufficient creative intelligence to go on, that person, whether that person is just in a family or is an institution or is in a whole community, will bring about, you know, a lot of havoc. And they may get many, they may do many things in terms of productivity, but the people who are around them will not be so healthy because the power is being sit on rather than being distributed or others being empowered. Ego, ability to keep you, we go on and on. But we're going to, you know, we're going to come back to these as you think more later of some things that can cause failure, you know, that are very specific to our own communities and situations. It's important that just as we know that there is a Kama Bija, there's a Jnana Bija, there's also the Bhakti Lata Bija, and there is the Community Bija. There are certain things that we know that are associated with, you know, the Jnana Bija and the Karma Bija. Karma Mimamsa activities and fruitive activities. A lot of data processing, intellectualization, you know, can feed the Jnana Bija. We know that there are things that creates very healthy, secure, protective Bhakti Lata Bija. And we can just look at our own lives. What's happening to us? We feel more enthusiastic. What's going on in our life? What's happening when we find we're chanting better, we're reading more, we're listening more, we have better association, we're not making aparads, so many things. So, similarly, what happens that goes on when our communities are stronger, and what's happening individually and collectively when our communities are weaker? Community is like a living organism. Now, all living organisms have to be cared for, fed, protected. Otherwise, they get sick, they wither, and they die. Organisms just don't, because they exist, somehow they just keep on existing. No. They have to be nourished. They have to be taken care of. So when people come together, they come together with some commitments and some vision. But the vision has to constantly be something that they feel comfortable in supporting in order for that bija to stay alive. The vision definitely needs leadership because there need to be some of those who keep that sacred vision forefront and protect it and remind people, you know, about it. But just as every day, basically we eat, we bathe, it's an integral part of us, that community needs to be constantly fed also. And there are issues that, which we'll touch upon before we finish, hopefully, about trust and forgiveness and accountability and needs. So many things are part of the feeding process. Community must honor a diversity if it's authentic, it's a community. But if diversity excels over similarity, then there's a problem. If you have more diverse factors than you have that which is of some same nature, then there's a problem. But if you have also unhealthy conformity that doesn't honor diversity, then it'll be very hard to maintain. You'll be surprised to know from these surveys that were done on alternative communities, the evaluation And they came to, in analyzing those communities that were still alive and still growing. And let me share that with you. Their findings were that the communities that started off in the 60s, wanted to save the world, wanted to offer something, people made sacrifices, committed themselves, their moral goodness in many cases, spiritual in their own way, that the number one issue where there was still success, longevity, and progress was the community was able to remain chaste to the original vision while honoring diversity. Meaning that it was able to maintain the original vision while constantly being able to recreate itself. Some of those that got into so much trying to expand and recreate without maintaining the original vision, they fell apart. Some of those that got too much into opening up for diversity, they fell apart. Some of those who tried to just maintain conformity, they fell apart. If they couldn't do both, they were not able to survive. Now, let's relate this to our own situation. No one should really stay or have genuine reason to stay in any community if the community cannot provide more than what the person or family could get on their own. If we have gatherings of people who are associating, working, and living together, if we cannot constantly provide more than what that person or family can get if they were living by themselves, there's really no legitimate reason for them to remain in the association. We are hungry for having our own needs satisfied. Unless we are just on the most highest pure level, we're selfish. And that's okay. That we have certain things we want, certain things that we are trying to arrange, and of course certain things that are legitimate needs. That list that we've put up here also can be looked at is that certain needs were not being met, and this is how the needs were not being met. You understand what I'm saying? Is that one way of looking at this is that this list and longer list that we make are activities, projects, things that happen, experiences where some genuine needs were not being met. So now this is our second point. Our first point is just looking at this general category of failure. And that failure isn't just a conceptual arrangement. There are things that happen that produces failure or that produces stagnation. There are things that happen that causes us to lose our enthusiasm. And we know usually it's apparatus, it's offenses, it's lack of faith. But why do we get lack of faith? Because of certain things that we've done, certain things that happened in our environment. And so everything does break down to science. So we look at what needs to be put in place to make a difference. We can also look at what wasn't put in place, what was put in place in the wrong way. It brought a sense of failure. So from loss of determination, loss of relation between environment and community, poor communication going from down to up. So all of these are just some categories of distinct things that have brought some failure or some level of stagnation. And so as we do the converse of that, we set in more for success. Now, we could do a whole month of breaking these issues down in additional, but we want to kind of summarize into categories so that we can at least focus on some themes to look at ourselves, look at our futures and what we want to do and what we can be about trying to see how to make a more significant difference, if we want it. The second thesis we said is that if an individual cannot get more from being with others, there's no legitimate reason for that person to stay together, and it's likelihood that at some point the person is going to leave. Now, we do know that our community, as well as other communities, sometimes had such a rigid kind of mood of trying to get people to do certain things, which was, the intention was good, but often we minimize also the importance of diversity. Keep in mind, one of the themes that came across is that where they were able to maintain chastity and honor diversity simultaneously, because the community is supposed to be alive and people's needs also change. So, our second point is that every vana, every ashram, even different age groups, have different genuine needs. And as the degree we want to have a healthy, authentic community, we have to constantly be searching as leaders for what those needs are, and as members of a community, we have to also try to be honest with what our needs. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying wants. There are certain distinct things that one needs to be Krishna conscious. There are certain things that a brahmachari is to have in place for that brahmachari to be healthy in his Krishna consciousness. There are certain things that a family that only has one child needs, in contrast to a family that has seven children, in order for them to go on in their Krishna consciousness in a healthy way. There are certain things that a devotee in the community who now is very sick, or an invalid, or who's become very old, there's certain things that person needs to facilitate their ability to be Krishna conscious. There are certain things that a brahmachari who is 57 years old needs in contrast to a brahmachari who's 17. Now, how do we as leaders try to evaluate everybody's position, concern, and keep everyone feeling good about their pursuit of Krishna consciousness? First, it's awesome, but at the same time, not really. Because it's not like going to a restaurant, everybody's ordering a different meal, and you got, 100 people and everybody wants something different. It's that there are different categories. Somebody is into a vegan diet, somebody is into no salt, somebody's into this, and you have certain category packages for dealing with this particular category of need. Perhaps in our earlier days we didn't think this much about these kind of things because there was no necessity. Because in most cases we didn't really have anybody in our institution who was, 80 years old, 75 years old, and they're trying to be a normal devotee living in the temple or living in the community. We didn't have, someone who had seven children and now three grandchildren. We didn't even have, in many cases, someone who was a brahmachari who was 60 years old. But we have all of that now. And many of those people are not with us anymore because of these things and other areas of how it did not supply or fulfill their particular needs. And by such, then they start looking outside or looking for alternatives, which means then Maya starts soliciting the person that here you can come and I can fulfill what you want. So obviously it doesn't happen overnight that we are able to create a community or communities that have so many ways to address the needs of the people. But if we don't at least have more recognition of that, we don't start moving to put those things more, in place. What did Prabhupada say in Bhagavad Gita? Every action entails what? No, we need capital. What else? Land.
Labor.
Management. Okay, management.
Management of resources.
And resources. Maybe we'll put that on the side up here. So much Prabhupada has given us that can be extended specific and general situations as we research a little more. Every endeavor. Okay, just put number one, capital. Every successful endeavor. Capital, land. Okay, three, resources. Oh wait. Okay, capital resources. Yeah, we can put it. Resources. What was the other two?
Labor.
And to manage it.
Good man.
Yes. Yes, manager. Good manager. Now, also notice how what caused failure is also these things gone wrong. Huh? As you were saying, the lack of sensitivity toward environment and culture of environmental concerns, which has a lot to do with labor. I'm sorry, has to do with land, labor, management, and also you need capital. We look at the, we'll go from the top. One person, things mean one person, we see center. That means one person sitting on the land, sitting on the capital, management that's not empowering, large ego conflicts, conflicts over what? Conflicts over capital, conflicts over land, conflicts over resources, no ability to keep the youth interested. Well, how can they be interested if they don't have some ability for capital, for resources, for land, for management that's giving them a sense of positiveness about their future? Financial problems directly connected with capital. Personal relationships. What are the issues to be addressed, these issues? Lack of goals. People feel that whatever's going on is not really going to enhance these, you know, particular five things, etc. So anyway, when we look at needs, then we almost organically cover all of these areas. Because different people in the community will have different needs directed toward these and other areas that we see can cause failure if the needs are not being met. Different between wants and needs. Now, see how it happens on both sides. As leaders, we're to try to see what are the devotees' needs. And the devotees have to be more honest and looking a little closer as they try to consider how to go on in the future when they're in devotional community, and go on in the future and maintaining and being a devotee. What really is their authentic, genuine needs? And so some things we will focus more on priorities and eliminate some other areas from our life. Some other things that we're in denial will be able to bring those things forth. Does that make any sense? When we look closer at our needs, there's some things that we are doing and put a lot of energy into that may not be so much an authentic need for our genuine spiritual progress. And there's certain things that we're in denial that we need to give attention and we need to focus more on to help us so that our existence is not artificial. You know, we can do, for instance, we can engage in devotional service. We can repress certain genuine needs. And then later, it'll come out, you know, in some other way that's very unhealthy. So as we look at the Bhakti Vinod, the Core has given us, is that there is such an interesting formula for guaranteed success, for guaranteed addressing the individual and the community needs. And he tells us, first, you must give proper care to the physical body. Let's put these four on here also. This is Bhakti Vinod. So we must give proper care as we look at our individual family and community needs. We must look at, this is a genuine need. We're not the bodies, but we must give proper attention to the physical bodies as we look at facilitation of community. So we have a whole category of certain needs that helps, that are addressed for the youth. So that means the physical body needs of an elder person, of a brahmachari, of a child. Some of these things are going to be distinctly different, but are to be considered. Second, there must be a healthy social well-being or healthy socialization. Third, there must be proper stimulation of the mind. And fourth, there must be study of the Shastra. So Bhaktivinoda in his Shikshamrita, he gives us also, his Prabhupada has given us this formula in Bhagavad Gita, every successful endeavor must have these five things. And Bhaktivinoda says, every successful endeavor, community, institution, individual's own spiritual growth must include these four variables, unless one is a Paramahamsa and is on a totally liberated platform, then these things are not necessary. Not that these things are necessary and we act as if we are on the pure level and deny such things. We're trying to come to the pure level, so to come to that, then we have certain five areas in Gita that are necessary for success. And these four areas and six amrita, the Bhaktivinoda says, are to be in place for there to be success and not failure. So we have these kind of things that bring failure. They can be kind of summarized in that they are the lack of honoring genuine ongoing needs. Some of those genuine ongoing needs are not being honored because lack of capital, lack of land arrangements, resources, labor, management. And we summarize it even to a more kind of distinct category, is that where we're looking at is that there's a category of needs for the body, there's a category of needs for healthy socialization, there's a category of needs for proper stimulation of the mind, and for proper study of the Shastra, so that we keep all of this Krishna conscious. If for the individual or the community, there's not some arena for addressing the bodily needs, then that person will be more and more likely at some point to look for alternative. Either alternative community or alternative involvement with their senses, which usually, in most cases, mean some maya, because maya will definitely offer many alternatives. If we don't have healthy socialization, a healthy person needs to be authenticated, needs to feel valued, needs to feel some protection, needs to feel some love and have some emotional exchange, etc. Needs to have some healthy socialization. It's not there, it's guaranteed. It'll be dysfunctionalism and there'll be a certain amount of failure. Proper stimulation of the mind. All this stuff goes on and it's okay, but the person's mind is not satisfied, the mind is going to drag them into away from community, away from association, away from continuing in the process of devotion. And if we're not frequently and constantly revisiting the Shastra, even with having all kind of formulas and understanding of what can work, we can just create a very productive environment, but there's little focus on purity. There are ways we can create very powerful communities that have powerful external and internal structure, but lacking purity. And that we don't want. You know, there are businesses and corporations that have that. There's no God-conscious focus, etc. So we're not just trying to make things work better. We don't just want to have education facilities, health facilities, socialization aspects. We want to have all of these things. People's minds are satisfied when we're just engaged in that which is adding to mature culture, at least sense gratification culture, and not assisting us in our spiritual life. So now we as leaders need to reflect more on the needs of the people who are under our care. Devotees, mothers and fathers need to reflect more on the authentic needs of their children. Managers of various projects need to reflect more on the genuine needs. And individuals need to look closer at what really is necessary for me to be able to go on for the rest of my life and walk out of this body and go back to the spiritual world. What are some of the things that are essential to help protect, enthuse, and guide me? Now, when you look at that, that means that yes, there's going to be some destabilization in some ways. It's a lot easier to get everybody to try to think the same way, act the same way, and just do the immediate, but it doesn't last after some while. There are times we have to be ready to make some sacrifice, seeing that in the long run, this is going to be better for this person. In the immediate sense, it may be best for me managing a project to tell someone, look, Prabhu, you really don't need to get married because it's a big complexity for you. But I'm really telling that person that because they're living in the Brahmachari ashram and doing X amount of service every day is very essential for the immediate situation. Now, that person genuinely needs to get married now with counseling, etc., then that individual will do the work maybe on and on for a while with the same level of intensity. But it ain't going to last. Because there's a genuine need that isn't being addressed. And when that need is, then the person feels more fulfilled. They're able to what? They're able to give more to community. See, another way of looking at these needs in two categories is that as we are honest and authentic about what we need, we are to get something from the community based on that, or look for it for such. But as we're honest about our needs, we also are to look at what are our responsibilities and obligations. You hear me what I'm saying? Is that every person in the community has some genuine things that can help them in becoming Krishna conscious. But everyone also has particular obligations and duties that they are able and should be willing to do. The person who has 5 children cannot commit themselves, in most cases, to the same way and carry out the same responsibilities in terms of service as someone who has 1 child. But that person still has distinct things that they are accountable to for being a member of the community. Somebody who's a Brahmin has distinct position in terms of endowment of the ashram, the rana that they're in, but they also have particular responsibilities and obligations. So you have so many who are Brahmins and are not engaged or not even thinking about the necessity of engaging in deity service. Well, they have certain responsibilities, certain duties. They have certain capabilities, and they have to look at now, member of community, what are my genuine things that I can offer, and what are the genuine things that should be coming to me? If genuine things are not coming to the person, why should they genuinely offer? If somebody is feeling that what they're needing is not being addressed, then it kind of shuts down their desire to try to focus more genuinely on what they should be giving, what they should be doing. So everyone is involved. Otherwise, why are we coming together? We're all involved, having some identity of the umbrella of being in community under ISKCON, specifically under the Saraswat family, under the banner of Mahaprabhu Nityananda. So there are certain things that we are committed to when we make those vows. We take, diksha. There are certain benefits. We are connected with the parampara. We are able to be blessed by the whole parampara when we do something that is spiritually correct. And when we do something that is improper, we are an embarrassment to the whole parampara. When we have an identity, we wear a uniform, we're under a certain categorization, then there are certain things that is expected because we have that identity, and there are certain things that are supposed to come to us to maintain that same identity. So a lot of the failure has to do with environments where people are feeling that their genuine needs are not being addressed, either real or perceived. And then it causes them to shut down on their contributions.